What is up, real life? How y'all doing tonight? Doing great? Yeah, you're good. We've got a couple people out of town tonight. We've got Teen Challenge is having a conference, and some of our leaders are actually, thank you. Some of our leaders are actually leading worship for Teen Challenge in Birmingham, Alabama. And so we've got quite a few people absent tonight, but it's okay. God's going to do some awesome stuff. Amen? Who's ready for God's word tonight? Come on, y'all. Y'all ready for God's word tonight? I'm so grateful I got to meet quite a few new people. And I know this is a different night for real life. We like to get hype. Amen? Typically, we real life be so turnt. Used to be a phrase, now that's not even a phrase. Real life tough, y'all. We tough. No, there's a lot of different things real life is, but I am so glad you're in the room tonight. My name's Jonathan. I can't wait to get to know you and get to introduce you to how great our God is tonight through his word. Tonight, God wants us to give, he wants to give us faith. For revival, amen? He wants to give us faith. I believe revival is coming to Columbus, Georgia, students. I don't know about you, but God is about to bring back to life many who are spiritually dead, and God wants to revive our personal hopes and dreams as well, amen? There's some things that you've trusted God with that hasn't happened yet, and some of you might be discouraged. I'm thinking tonight is a night of encouragement for you to grab back a hold of that dream that you've given up on, because God wants to revive it in your life. Amen. I believe God wants to send revival to you personally, and God also wants to send revival through you personally, because you are a conduit, you are a vessel, you are chosen by God to send revival to your friends, to your family, to your classmates, to your high school. Amen? In Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen." And I want you to hear this tonight, real life. Our faith can move mountains, and our doubt can create them. Our faith can move mountains. If we'll allow it to. If we'll believe for the impossible, God will give us the impossible. But if faith can move mountains, then doubt can cause them and create them. I'm a connoisseur. I don't know if y'all enjoy Christian rap. Any Christian rap fans in the house? Daniel, I know you got me, bro. I know you got me. I'm a connoisseur of Christian rap. I've been known to be called white chocolate from time to time. I'm just saying, it's, yeah, sorry. Dad jokes all night long. From time to time, I listen to Christian rap and hip-hop. I hype myself up before I come to real life services, okay? When I'm rolling in the car on my way to real life, I'm listening to Aha Gazelle. I'm listening to some Gavi. I'm Andy Mineo. Someone is going to get me hyped up. I'm gassing myself up in my 4Runner, bumping it loud. Have y'all ever seen, like, when a person pulls up to a stop sign and they're bumping, but then they're all insecure and they turn it down real quick because it's like, wait a second, that guy's white. You know, sorry. Anyways, I've said that way too much because it's weird. Anyways, I do. The bass is always bumping because I'm praying that real life's going to be fire. Hallelujah, right? Y'all with me? Lecrae came out with this album, and it's called Let the Trap Say Amen. Amen. And one of my favorite songs on this album has... I claim it as my life's theme song now, okay? It's called Yet. And it's an inspiration behind the title of this new series that we're going into in September. And the chorus of Yet, Lecrae goes off and he says, I got moves I ain't made yet. I got shows I ain't played yet. I got trips I ain't take yet. I got time I ain't fade yet. I got songs I ain't made yet. I got foes I ain't faced yet. I got hands I ain't shake yet. I got plans I ain't made yet. Yet, he is just hyping up his crowd, saying, we coming, y'all, right? It may not have happened yet, but it's happening. It's coming. And that's how I feel about revival that's coming in Columbus, Georgia. Man, I want us to start tonight by making a declaration of faith. You may have had the worst day ever. And some of y'all, I ask, how you doing? You're like, my life is great, but I'm crying on the outside and on the inside. You might have had the worst week of your life. And if that's you, I'm sorry, but that should be fuel to you to declare this over your life tonight. And I want us to declare it together as a real life family. And it's simply this. I want you to say it with me in just a second. The best is yet to come. Say it with me. The best is yet to come. I want you to say it like you mean it right now. The best is yet to come. You've had some good things happen in your life, but the best is yet to come. Somebody needs to get it in your spirit. The best is yet to come. You've overcome some obstacles, and there may be some more coming, but the best is yet to come. That's what I believe God wants to infuse in us tonight. Is that encouraging to you? I'm so grateful for the encouragement of God. You have hopes and dreams. You have goals. You have desires in your heart. You have ambition. You have purpose to fulfill with your life. And most of those hopes and dreams have not happened yet. Praise God, yet. Can I get a witness? Yet. But I'm here tonight to tell you, God said it's coming. God said it's coming, especially if your dream seems dead. Revival is coming. Real life. Philippians 1:6, it says, be confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. It may not have happened yet, but it's coming. That's what that means. I think many of us could testify. We've already been through a lot in this life. God has brought us through. Some of it has been fun. Some of it has been memories full of regret. Some of the memories we never want to forget because they were the best times in our life. But the reality is God has not brought us this far to let our hopes and dreams fail and fade away because the best is yet to come. That's what I believe. If God has done big things in your past, real life, that is proof that he wants to do even bigger things with your future. If he's done something incredible with your past, that's proof that he's going to do even bigger things with your future. John 14:12, Jesus said it himself. Behold, you will do even greater things than I've done because I'm going to send you the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where revival is going to come through us. Amen. We've had some incredible memories the past few years here at Real Life, and God has done some significant things through this ministry. We have consistently been one of the top giving Speed the Light ministries in the state of Georgia. The past 2 years, we've given over $30,000 to equip missionaries to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's because I believe God has called us not just to change Columbus, God has called us to change the world. Amen? Man, we've had multiple top 10. There are some top 10 performers in this room with our National Fine Arts program. Some of y'all are incredibly talented and gifted, and you show off and show out for the glory of God. Lives get changed every single week at these altars. What a privilege it is to pray and to be a part of the transforming power of God every single week in somebody's life. Every single week, somebody gives their heart to Jesus. Every single week, somebody gets set free. Every single week, somebody gets support and love and encouragement because of what God is doing. Last week, 24 people got baptized, and that is proof, y'all, that the best is yet to come, amen? And I believe God is not done yet. I have a vision that revival is coming, new life is coming, and years ago, God gave me a vision that I would be privileged to see hundreds of students come to an altar, that there would be so many responding to the call of Jesus on their life that the altar would be too full of people to handle. And I haven't seen that yet, but I know it's coming. That's what this series is all about. Man, I'm believing for revival as we move into a season of outreach with Real Life Idol. It's going to be an exciting month in October. We're going to start connect groups next Sunday on the 16th, and so that we can advance in our faith, so that we can be ready to lead others to Jesus when God brings people into this house. Amen. And I'm believing for at least 200 students to join us at Fall Retreat this year, as we have special guest Pastor Jacob Jester. He's coming to speak fire. He is an incredible anointed man of God. He's a friend, and he's coming this November for Fall Retreat. You need to get there. We're about to put registration, and God has worked it out and orchestrated it to where we can reduce the price for more than $20 per person less than last year. So guys, you're going to get a better fall retreat for less money because of the goodness of God. It's going to be an incredible retreat. I'm looking forward to it. I'm praying that God uses us to raise thousands of dollars to equip missionaries through Bama and back, because the best is yet to come for Real Life. Amen. I'll never forget the moment our third son, Lucas, was born. I'll never forget the moment. Obviously, as a dad, you're not supposed to forget that. But it was not normal in any circumstance. Most babies come out kicking and screaming. They have the, oh, wah, oh, wah, oh, wah, right? They're all, like, shaking, and they're like, what did you do to me? I was comfortable, and now I'm not. Well, Lucas was blue and motionless. And I wanted to lose my sanctification, y'all, when the doctor or one of the nurses, I don't know who it was, they called my son a flopper. Apparently, that's a code in the nurse world. I don't know, Shalonda, you can help me out with that one. But they called my son a flopper, which means he was not breathing, he was not moving. And in a moment that was supposed to be special, in a moment where our expectation was to have my wife embrace my son in her arms for the very first time, and I could lean over and kiss her on the forehead and say, good job, babe, you did such a good job. I'm so proud of you, right? Because I did absolutely nothing. In a moment, instead, we were gripped with confusion and with fear in that moment. And guys, disappointment happens when things don't go as we expect it to. But disappointment can drive us into deeper faith if we let it. Disappointment takes place when things don't happen like we expect it to, but disappointment can actually drive us into deeper faith if we allow it to. Instead of getting the privilege of cutting the umbilical cord of my third son, Lucas's umbilical cord was wrapped around his little neck, preventing him from taking his first breath. He was literally suffocating, hence he was blue. And when the nurse put her finger in between his neck and the umbilical cord to try to help him to breathe, in that moment, she put her finger there, the umbilical cord dissolved, and because of that fact, that's when he started bleeding, because that's where blood flows from the mom to the baby. And so, y'all, a less than 8-pound child does not have much blood to lose. And so in that moment, the doctors swarmed and took Lucas, and in a moment that we anticipated to be filled with joy, Jubilee and I were left alone because they took him to the NICU, and in that moment, we were supposed to be excited. We were supposed to be enjoying a special moment, a bonding moment with our third child, and in that moment, we were left literally alone in this cold room, not knowing what in the world was going to happen. Helpless. We felt helpless to do anything. And we did the only thing we could do. We began to pray. Because sometimes disappointment will drive you to deeper faith, y'all. And in that moment when we were praying, crying out to God for the life of our son, in that moment, God spoke to my spirit and he assured me, and I'm believing that God's going to do that for your life tonight. He spoke to my spirit and he assured me in my circumstance, in my situation, he said, hey, son, guess what? I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. And y'all saw him earlier. My little boy is beautiful. God spared his life. They thought it would take days for him to recover. It took hours because our God is powerful. Amen. The Bible story we're going to look at tonight is one of literal revival. Elisha was a man of God, a powerful prophet in his time. And Elisha traveled from town to town. He passed through and spoke the word of God through all the cities he went through. And one town he passed through often was called Shunem. And God bless me. No, it's the town of Shunem. And there was a woman and her husband there that decided to make one of their rooms in their house Elisha's room. And so whenever Elisha would pass by, they would allow him to stay with them. They couldn't have children of their own, so they made room for the prophet of God. And so the first point that we can get from Elisha's story is the only way we will experience the best that is yet to come is if we create space for God in our everyday lives. The only way we're going to experience the best that is yet to come is if we make room for God. Amen? One visit Elisha promised this woman because they couldn't have kids. He literally said, hey, guess what? I'm out, but you're going to have a baby. And she like, Elisha, don't mess with me, boy. Like, she got all ghetto with him. You got to read the word like this. It's alive and active. It's not dull. It's not boring. She like, don't mess with my emotions, Elisha. Right? You know, I forget that movie, but it's like, anyways, we'll move on. Let's move on. She's like, don't mess with me. Don't play games with me. And this is where we pick up on the story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 17. Okay? It says this, the woman became pregnant. And the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. And I thought for a second, I could preach an entire message on why don't we just listen to what God says and take him at his word. Wouldn't life be so less stressful if we just believed what God told us? But I'm not going to preach about that tonight. It goes on. It says, the child grew, and one day he went out to his father who was farming with the reapers. And the boy said to his father, Dad, my head, it hurts. It hurts, Dad. And his father told his servant, carry him to his mother, get him to his mama. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and a really strange twist to this story happened. The son died. She went up and she did something really interesting. In the moment of tragedy, it says that she went up and laid the body of her dead son on the bed of the man of God and shut the door and went out. Man, what a tragic twist to this story. Her miracle son dies in her arms, and she places the body of her dead son in Elisha's room. And guys, her behavior tells us tonight that we should immediately bring shattered dreams and impossible situations to God. We should immediately bring it to him. We get confused. We get taken off guard. Something happens in our life that is the opposite of what we expected. Guys, we need to immediately be bringing that to our Lord and Savior. If a window of opportunity in your life becomes a door that slams shut in your face, guys, God is calling you to bring it to him. If you have been praying, but it only seems like your situation is getting worse and you're starting to feel helpless and life feels out of control, that's when you need to take it straight to God. Don't you dare run from God. Bring it to God first, because the best is yet to come. It may not have happened yet, but it's coming. She held his lifeless body. Just imagine this for a moment, how terrible of a feeling that must have been to hold his lifeless body in her arms. But somehow, somewhere, faith began to take over in her spirit. And she was well aware of her present reality, but she also knew God was not done yet. In real life, faith seems invisible. Faith believes the unbelievable, and faith receives the impossible. I'm going to say that again because that's worth an amen. I said faith sees the invisible, faith believes the unbelievable, and faith receives the impossible. So if that's what you want, you got to take your situation to God. The world around you may try and convince you that it's over, but there are things that can and will happen in your life if you believe God for them. And so the story goes on. She called her husband and said, "Hey, please send me a servant. Get me a donkey so I can go to the man of God and quickly return." And her husband asked, why go to him today? I don't understand. It's not a festival. It's not a new moon or a Sabbath. And she says something so interesting. She says, "Everything is going to be all right." And she saddled the donkey and sat her servant on it. And she said, "Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you to. We're going to get to the man of God real quick, y'all." She's like ready. "I told Elisha, he better not mess with me." Y'all remember that? She said, "Lead on, don't slow down unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And when Elisha saw her in a distance, the man of God said to his servant, "Look, there's the Shunammite woman. Run to her and ask her, 'Are you okay? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?' And get what she says. After putting her dead son in his room, she says, 'Everything is all right.'" Everything. It's unbelievable. Real life, I want you to understand this truth. Most people's faith lessens the longer they're in the middle of their distress. Most people, when you're in the middle of a terrible situation, the longer you're in that situation, the less faith you get to muster up, right? For example, you maybe someone in this room, you've been praying for the finances in your home, and your mom and dad have still been struggling to make ends meet, and you've even started to work part-time to help with the bills, but it's still not enough. And you've been in that situation for long enough to where finally you're thinking, "Man, we're just always going to be broke." Because the longer you're in a difficult situation, the less faith, or the harder it is to muster up faith, right? Or maybe there's fighting in the house and it's been so consistent and it's been progressively getting worse and you're starting to lose hope that it'll ever get back to the loving environment you used to enjoy. And the longer you're in that situation, the longer you're in the middle of that pain, the harder it is to believe God for the impossible. Maybe everybody can be a witness to this, probably. Maybe you're trying to get your grades up. Praise the Lord. You're in this class, and it is just kicking your tail. Like, you're trying, but your teacher is doing everything in their power to make it hard on your life. Can I get an amen? It's hard. And you think to yourself, "There is no way. I am never, no habla español. I'm never going to get a diploma because I'm never going to speak Spanish." Oh, my gosh. And the longer you're in that situation, the harder the pressure feels. The longer we're in a predicament, the longer we're in that distress, the more our faith gets chipped away at, and the more our hope seems to fade. But this woman was faced with something so much more devastating than those examples. Man, she held her son's lifeless body in her arms, and yet when her husband asked, she had the courage to say, "Everything is going to be okay. And God's not done yet." See, guys, I pray that you and I will never experience what this woman had to experience, because I would take being grounded for a bad test grade all day, every day, than to hold the pain that this woman held in her arms when her son passed away. I'll take having my cell phone taken from me for a week for being smart or disrespectful to my mom and dad all day and every day over holding the lifeless body of my own child. See, I'm trying to bring some perspective that some of the problems that decrease our faith are very serious, but some are seriously not that big of a deal, especially when the best is yet to come. Here's what I believe with all of my heart. God is calling you and I to lead revival here in Columbus, Georgia. And those who lead in revival are not satisfied with the way things look. They do something about it. Those who lead in revival aren't satisfied. This woman was not satisfied with the way her circumstance looked. So she said, honey, she said, get my donkey. I'm going. The woman grabbed a donkey, went straight to the man of God. And leaders of revival act. They do something with their faith because they realize that a simple act of faith can turn a hopeless situation into a life-changing revival. A simple act of faith can turn a hopeless situation into life-changing revival. Handing a simple invite card to a friend can be the beginning of revival in their life, students. Inviting some friends to join a connect group. Some of your close, tight-knit friends, you've been doing some things and you've been straying. You've been saying some of the conversations in that group text. You know it's not pleasing the Lord. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't know how I'm going to get closer to God. Get your entire group in a connect group so that you can advance in your faith, so that you can be challenged, so that you can be held accountable. And that one step of faith can cause revival in your entire circle of friends. One act of faith can turn into life-changing revival. This woman goes to the man of God. They see her coming. And when Elisha asks her how she is, how her husband is, if her boy is okay, her response actually grows in faith the longer she's been in her distress. And she moves from saying everything will be all right to saying everything is all right. Real life is giving invite cards tonight. And we're creating an incredible incentive for your friends to get involved with Real Life Idol. Guys, there is a $1,000 prize on the line. Can I tell you that even atheists like money? Can I tell you that is an incentive for anyone who has a pulse? Guys, we have Morgan Taylor coming. We have Jay King from 107.3 coming. We've got Frank Watts. He's going to be our sanctified judge. It is going to be awesome. Good music is going to happen every single week in this sanctuary during Real Life Idol. Man, we have a choice to have faith for revival or to doubt. We have a choice to do something to make revival happen or sit back and do nothing. And just because our friends are vocal in not placing their faith in God doesn't give us the right to sit back and do nothing about it. Because the best is yet to come. What if this lady had just accepted the fact my son's dead and she did nothing about it? Man, some of us, I understand, I get it. Some of you are feeling lonely because, man, every relationship that comes your way, the person seems to lose interest. When you raise your standard and you communicate, God has called me to keep myself pure until marriage, and so we're not going here, here, and here. And as soon as you begin to communicate your standards, that's the moment someone loses interest in you. And you're thinking to yourself, man, this is lonely because I want to have somebody to be with. I heard somebody before, sir, we're going to get him here, and I'm going to date him. Praise the Lord. But here's what happens. You raise your standard and you stand firm in your faith. Can I tell you, the person who gets lonely and says, you know what if I just drop my standard for a little while so that I can ease the pain of my loneliness, guess what? That person is guaranteed more lonely than they've ever been before because they have shame, regret, and guilt all up on their shoulder because of lowering their standards. But I'm telling you, if you keep your standard, you hold it close to your chest, you believe God for the best is yet to come, there's going to come someone that is going to honor you, that's going to respect you, that's going to love you, that you're going to find trustworthy, that you're going to be able to live a lifetime with and not just be a fling. Because the best is yet to come if you hold on with faith. Just because it's not happened yet doesn't give us the right to lose hope. If revival is going to happen, and I believe it's coming, you and I are going to be the ones who will make it happen. See, those who lead in revival increase in faith when trouble comes their way. I'm going to invite Juan to come as we close. If leaders, if you don't mind coming, we're going to close out in just a moment. Those who lead in revival increase in faith when trouble comes their way. The story closes like this. When this woman reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. And the servant came to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She's in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why she's here." And she said this. She said, "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes?" And Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt. Take my staff into your hand and run. Don't let anyone slow you down. And if anyone greets you, don't answer them. Lay my staff on the boy's face." But the child's mother said, "As surely as I live and as you live, I will not leave you." But what she was telling him was, "I'm not leaving until you do something." And she got up, and so Elisha got up and followed her. Gehazi went ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So the servant went back to meet Elisha and told him the boy hasn't awakened. So when Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on the couch. And he walked in, shut the door on two of them, and they began to pray to the Lord. And he got on the bed, lay on the boy. It got a little strange, but guys, sometimes revival takes getting out of your comfort zone. And he lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hand to hand. We are not going to do that at Real Life, okay? This is a one-time thing. God will not do this again. I don't think he's ever going to do this again. Mouth to mouth, body to body. And the boy's body began to get warm. And Elisha turned away. He was probably kind of weirded out. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room and then got on the bed again and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and then his eyes opened. He was brought, that which was dead was brought to life. And Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "You better call the Shunammite." And he did, and she came in, and Elisha said, "Take your son." And she came in, she fell at his feet and bowed to the ground, and she took her son in her arms, and she walked out with the life. She walked out with receiving the best that was yet to come. She walked out with hope. She walked out with true assurance. Faith is the evidence. She had the faith, but she had the reality in this moment. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet. Revival took place because of this woman's faith, Real Life. Revival happens because someone was determined to believe the best is yet to come. And guys, I want you to understand this. This is a very important point, and this is pivotal for the next few weeks in our student ministry. Guys, the catalyst for revival was not the man of God. The catalyst for revival here in Columbus, Georgia is not me. I'm a mouthpiece of God, but I am not the catalyst of revival. The catalyst of revival was the normal person who had the faith to believe God was not done yet. And so that means you are the catalyst for revival in your situation, in your home life, in your school. You are the catalyst for revival. And although your friends might not be physically dying, Guys, your friends are dying spiritually, and they need somebody to see by faith that the best is yet to come. Amen? So I want to invite you, bow your heads and close your eyes in this holy moment. God, we love you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the inspiration to have faith, to walk by faith and not by sight. But tonight, God, I realize that there's quite a few of us in this room. God, we can't be catalysts of revival if you haven't revived us personally. So some of us have gone through some circumstances and some situations over the past couple weeks where we've allowed it to squash and destroy our faith. We've, instead of turning to you, we've ran from you. And so God, in this moment, I know the power of your Holy Spirit has been drawing, your love has been pouring out over some of us in this room. And God, I just pray that over the next few moments, you would cause tonight to be the night of salvation for someone in this room. And so all across this room, with every head bowed, before you can be a vessel of revival, you've got to have life on the inside for yourself. And so if you're in this place tonight, God wants to use you to do something significant in your generation, in your classmates' lives. But the first thing he wants to do is to make sure that you're right with him. And he did everything that needed to happen when he crucified his one and only son on Calvary's cross to pay for the sin that separates you from him. And so right now in this moment, if you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I am far from God and I need the blood of Jesus to forgive me. I need to accept him and I need to walk with him in a new way tonight. I need to be revived spiritually because my walk with him has been dead. If that's you tonight, I want you to lift up your hand and hold it high so I can pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you for all of these precious individuals that have admitted they need you. Right now, if you'll just say it loudly and say it proudly with me, dear Jesus, I thank you so much for loving me so much that you died for me. God, I claim that I am a sinner, that I need your grace, that I don't deserve to be in your presence. But I am so grateful that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, the debt of my sin has been paid. And so right now, I turn from my sin and I turn to you, Jesus. I place my faith in you, Jesus. And right now in this moment, I declare that the best is yet to come in my life. God, my circumstance might not be the best, but the best is yet to come. Because in this moment, you're causing revival in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.